Test, am I on? All right, let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, everyone. This session is Security and Microsoft Azure IaaS, or Infrastructure as a Service. My name is Brian Sarasi. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the Windows Azure Engineering Team. I'm actually relatively new to Azure. I've only been on the team for a couple months now, but I'm not new to Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for about 14 years. Most of that time I've spent actually on the server and virtualization side, focusing on Hyper-V. So if you remember way back when, I was actually part of the team that originally released Virtual PC, followed by Virtual Server, and then of course Hyper-V in Windows Server 2008 R2, and then again in Windows Server 2012 and 2012 R2. So now my focus has moved away from virtual machines on-premise to virtual machines in the cloud using Windows IaaS, or excuse me, Microsoft Azure IaaS, or Infrastructure as a Service. With me today from Microsoft, we also have Devinder Tiwari. Devinder is also a program manager in Azure. He's going to be taking us through some of the new Microsoft anti-malware technology to protect your Azure virtual machines. And we also have Kandana Palagiri. And Kandana is a peer of mine, also on the Windows Azure team. And she's actually going to be taking us through some of the demos around some of our partner security offers that we've been launching here at TechEd this week. So the agenda is as follows, and this is actually going to be a really dynamic session today. We have a lot of speakers. We have myself and the two other Microsoft people that I spoke about. We also have several partners that are going to be coming on stage. So we have a lot of content. We have a lot of demos. We also have some videos. So we're going to move really quickly to make sure that we can get through all the content. And actually, while I'm up on stage and you see other people up on stage, you'll actually be noticing other people yet still coming on stage, getting their demos ready, and that's just an effort to make sure that we can get through all the content in a quick, quick order. So in that regard also, for questions and answers, we're going to hold those to the very end. All the different partners and the Microsoft folks are going to be up here in the front of the stage, so you can come address us directly and ask any questions to the people that you think would be able to best answer the questions. So the first thing I'm going to take just a few minutes about is Microsoft overall security principles. So this is kind of a baseline, the way that we think about Azure security, kind of our best patterns and practices, and it really kind of sets the stage for the rest of the session and what we're going to be talking about. So how many people were actually in this room an hour ago for Lori's security session? Okay, so a couple people. So a couple of the slides I'm going to be going through are going to be a refresher, but again, it's a good baseline and kind of sets the stage for the rest of the session. And then also I'm going to be going into the VM extension model. How many people are familiar with our VM extension model in Azure IaaS? Okay, only a couple of hands. So we're going to go into that a little bit deeper. And a lot of the partner solutions that we're going to be showing today are actually leveraging that extension model to be able to inject their services and agents into an Azure VM. And Kandana, who's going to be coming up in a few minutes, was actually one of the key program managers responsible for that technology. So she's going to walk us through some more stuff around that. And then we're going to get into the crux of the conversation today, which is really around our Microsoft and our partner solutions around antivirus, anti-malware, as well as some of our Drive encryption solutions that we've announced this week. And then we're also going to end up with a security solution around SharePoint. So that's kind of the overall agenda of the topics we're going to try to cover today. Okay, so let's start out and talk about Azure security principles. How many people are familiar with the Azure Trust Center? Okay, just a handful of hands. If you're not familiar with this website, I highly encourage you to take a look. This is kind of the one-stop shop for all information regarding security, privacy, and compliance. As you're considering moving your workloads into the cloud, it's good to understand what Microsoft's policies are. It's good to understand where your obligation picks up and where our obligation picks up. So this is a great place to get all this type of information. And actually, really quick, I'm going to go ahead and bring up the website. So we switch over here, and we take a look. You can see it's broken up into a few different sections. We have your privacy. Actually, let's go to the overview section. There we go. We have, come back here. There we go. Relentless on security, so it goes into all the security principles and details for Microsoft, both PaaS, Platform as a Service, and Azure IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service. It talks about privacy, So you need to understand what the privacy concerns are, how we store your data, how we protect your data. It also talks about independently verified or the compliance standards that we adhere to. And this is also particularly important when we talk about different regions. Many of you are in different industries, different verticals. You have different compliance standards that you must apply to. This website goes into detail about how Microsoft thinks about compliance and what policies and procedures we adhere to. Down here at the bottom, and I have another slide on this as well, is shared responsibility. This is also an important concept to understand. As you're bringing your workloads into Azure, again, whether it's platform as a service or infrastructure as a service, we are sharing the responsibility and the security standards for those workloads. Some of the onus is on us, especially around the hardware, the networking, the compute, the storage, but much of the onus is still on you, especially about securing and managing your workloads and your applications. So we'll go into that in a little more detail, but it's good to understand where our responsibilities are and where your responsibilities are. And then if we go into the relentless on security section, again, a lot of good information. We have a lot of white papers. We also have a lot of links to MSDN articles. And down at the bottom here is just a good example of the type of content, penetration testing. So obviously, Azure, we do our own penetration testing to make sure that our services are hardened and that we're protected against malicious attacks. But a lot of end users or customers also want to test their applications. Problem is, if you go ahead and start doing penetration testing on your application, Azure can actually see that as a malicious attack and try to shut you down. So we want to enable you to do this, enable you to make sure that your apps and your services and your workloads are hardened. But this web page goes into details around what you have to do to make sure you can do that in a way that we're not going to view it as attack. So we actually have a method for you to contact Azure, a method for us to explain the policies and how you should go about this. And this is just one example of the type of content that this web page holds. It's good understanding of what the expectations are, what you can and cannot do, where your responsibility lies, and where our responsibility lies. So again, I encourage you to take a look. So moving back, and this is what I alluded to a minute ago, which is shared responsibility. Obviously, when you're running a workload on-premise, whether it be on the physical hardware or in a virtualized environment, you're responsible for the entire stack. The networking, the storage, the servers, the virtualization layer, whether that be, you know, VMware or Xen, or I would hope Hyper-V, and then the operating system of the workload itself, any middleware, the runtime, the data, the applications. You're responsible for managing, securing, patching, updating the entire stack. Now, if we jump over and think about Azure Platform as a Service, this is where the shared responsibility concept kind of comes in. You can see a lot of green there. These are the aspects that Azure is responsible for. We obviously own the underlying compute, so we're working to secure and protect the hardware that's running, the operating system, the middleware, but the data and the applications are still your responsibility. And if we move all the way across the spectrum to software as a service, so these are cloud-based services that Windows Azure offers up, for example, Office 365. We really own the entire stack. We're responsible for making sure everything all the way down to the application is fully protected, updated, patched, secured. But really our talk today is around infrastructure as a service. As you can see, it's almost a 50-50 split. And you'd be surprised with how many people still don't completely understand this concept. So again, in the Azure infrastructure as a service, our running virtual machines in Azure, we're going to make sure that we handle the patch, the update, the security for the networking, the storage, the servers, the virtualization or hypervisor layer, and in our case, this is Hyper-V, and everything above that is still your responsibility. The OS running inside of your virtual machine, whether it's Windows or Linux, the data, the applications, for example, if you're running SQL Server, full install inside of your virtual machine, you still have to think about how to secure that, how to secure the data, how to patch it, and how to update it. If you want to run antivirus or anti-malware, there's considerations for that as well. And that's really what this session is about, is the steps to take to make sure that this entire stack, both the things that we own and you own, are fully secure, fully patched and fully enabled. Okay, so I asked earlier, again, one more show of hands, how many people are familiar with the VM extension model? Okay, how many people have recently, let's say within the last month, deployed a virtual machine in Azure via the gallery? Okay, so know it or not, you've actually walked through the VM extension model. So our tagline for this is really, this is where infrastructure as a service meets platform as a service. And really the goal is to extend the power of your virtual machine. As you're going to see today, our goal is really to enable the partner ecosystem, so provide extensions not only from Microsoft, but also great third-party extensions, which really enhance our platform. And the control is still yours. So really what we're doing here is providing a mechanism to inject things like agents and services into your virtual machine at time of deployment. So whether you're deploying through PowerShell or you're deploying through the gallery, so you can even bring your own virtual machines from home, you have the option to inject agents into the virtual machine. Now, this is different than the typical thing where you pick your image. When you pick your image, you say, I want Windows and I want SQL. You wouldn't necessarily pick an image just based on the extension. Instead, you say, I still want the Windows and SQL image, but I also want to inject an antivirus solution that my company uses into the virtual machine. And that's really what we're talking about here with the extension model. So here is an example, again, a user either through PowerShell or through the portal goes ahead and during time of deployment, there's a number of different agents that they can choose. The agent, in this case, the PowerShell script is actually brought into the virtual machine and upon boot, it executes whatever script or agent that thing is meant to do. Now back in build just a few weeks ago, we announced our very first partner extensions around configuration management. So we launched Puppet and Chef. These are both kind of workflow automation and orchestration engines that run inside of the virtual machine. And then we also had some customized script extensions. That, at the time, wasn't actually in the UI. So when we launched at build, this is what the UI looked like. As part of the process of deploying a virtual machine, you're brought to this page. You can check a Puppet extension or the Chef extension. And now here, Brad Anderson, on stage on Monday, announced some new partner solutions that are coming to market that are now in our gallery, specifically around antivirus and anti-malware. So in the UI, we now have a solution from Symantec, as well as an anti-malware solution from Microsoft, and Trend Microsystems as well. So when you go to deploy a VM, this is what the screen looks like now. You can, again, at the top, see the configuration extensions. You can now see that the custom script is also in the UI. And at the bottom, we have the security extensions. And this is what we're going to delve into deeper today in this session. So again, the Microsoft anti-malware solution, which is currently in preview, followed by the Symantec Endpoint Protection and the Trend Microsystems Deep Security Agent. So at this point, I'm actually going to invite Anthony on stage, and as I mentioned, we're going to be transitioning quite a bit through this, and he's going to walk us through the Symantec Endpoint Protection service. So welcome, Anthony.
Thank you. So we'll see if the screen switches over here real quick. Actually, you saw PowerPoint slides. So they're on yours, correct?
You want the clicker.
I want the clicker. I like to have control. So welcome, everyone. I'm Anthony Flaviani. I'm a senior director at Symantec. I run our education services for all of our security products. And we're happy to be here today to show you guys what we've launched early this week, as Brian mentioned, which is our security extensions. So what you're going to see in this quick demo is I'm going to show you how quick and easy it is to protect your Azure platforms. As you saw from Brian a little bit earlier today, as you get the infrastructure as a platform, that there's still half of that stack that you need to protect from the operating system on up. And so we're going to show you how we do that. With the ability, with the 20 to 40,000 threats that are coming out each and every day, you need added to the level of protection to protect the machines. So we partnered earlier this week and launched our Symantec Endpoint Protection that provides unrivaled security, blazing performance, easy to deploy and integrate with your existing Symantec Endpoint solution today. And so with this technology, you're going to see that there are more than just one type of technology included in our security endpoint. We have our traditional file signature-based antivirus. We have our heuristics-based, behavioral-based heuristics to look at the applications are running. We have our Insight, which is our reputation-based, to show you new things that are coming, the prevalence, the source and locations, looking at all the things that are coming to the box. Now, since the infrastructure team does allow the management of the networking stack, we do have additional technologies that we did not enable by default, which is our firewall and network intrusion prevention. However, these are things that you can easily enable within the product or from the management console. They are there, they're just not enabled by default. In addition to that, we also have some policy type of controls that you can do for additional security, system lockdown to tightly control all the applications and whitelist and blacklist, what individuals, computers, or applications can do on the system. We provide application control as well as host integrity, which is an add-on that you can implement within the technology that provides compliance-based checking. And once again, this product is very easy to be integrated into your existing SAP management infrastructure. So let me switch over and show you how easy it is to enable this within the platform. So you can see I have a few virtual machines, and just to show you, if you've not created this with inside of the system, it's very easy to create from the gallery, as Brian was mentioning earlier. We can just choose any one of your Windows types of images here. So I'll just choose 2012 data center. I'll just type in a name. Give yourself a user account. And as we can choose all the other settings around cloud services. I'm gonna go ahead and choose one that I already have.
I think you're almost, am I on?
Test, test.
I think you're the first person I've seen to actually make it through that first username and password section without actually having to retype their password. I could never make that through in my first.
Working at Symantec for the last 15 years, I've learned the joys of complex passwords. So it's as easy as just clicking the security extension, adding Symantec Endpoint Protection. Once you click next, it'll create that virtual machine. You'll see the shell come in and actually install all additional components. Now, I'm not gonna go through that. It takes about 7 minutes. I timed it quite a few times. So I'm actually gonna open up an existing machine that I already have. So this is just a clean instance of the Windows 2012 data center. You know, as you first open up the machine, you know, I've already closed out the server control manager, but essentially one of the things that we will do is we will prompt you with just this, letting you know that you have an unlicensed version of Symantec Endpoint Protection. What we have done with this release is we've given you a 60 days temporary license that you can use this, so any machine that you want to bring up on the fly can have that initial 60 days worth of protection. At that point, you'll need to either purchase or use an existing license from what you already have with your Symantec.
And if I may, that's an important point, is the fact that we're not creating a new licensing mechanism here. We're actually, if you're already an existing customer, if you have a volume license, if you have a regular license, you can use what you already have to be able to, you know, inject your license keys into the agent.
That's correct. So as you can see, I've just opened up the Symantec Endpoint Protection. You can see the icon showing that it is providing protection. You'll notice that we are providing the spyware, antivirus settings, along with all of the traditional heuristics, you know, our download insight, our integration with ELAM for early anti-malware protection. You can see that our behavior heuristics are turned on, and it's very easy to add in all the other components through the settings. If you want to make this a managed product, it's very easy. There's a variety of different ways that you can do that within our product. One of the easiest ways is just import your configuration file from the management server, and this will now connect in and be a fully managed client allowing you to manage it from the management console that you already have in your environment. And just to show you how quick and as soon as you deploy an agent in the platform, as soon as you want to download any type of threats, just to show you that we are providing full protection within the guest client operating system, I'm going to go ahead and download the most traditional, most common virus that everyone downloads for the first time. It's like the Hello World. Okay? As you can see, as I'm trying to download that, you can see that we are providing protection within the guest operating system running the platform. So if you have any additional questions, I'll be here after the session as well as also in the booth today down at Symantec and the trade show. So if there's any questions that you have at this point, let me know and I will be available at the end.
Great. Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian.
I'll take the clicker back. Switch back over here. Okay, so next we have Devendra, and Devendra is going to walk us through the Microsoft anti-malware solution for Azure. So Devendra, please take it away. Do you need the clicker?
Yes, I would need the clicker.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Anthony. Hello, everyone. My name is Devendra Tiwari, and I'm a program manager in the Azure Security Engineering team. I've been working at Microsoft for almost 13 plus years. And in the past, I've presented at TechEds and some of the other conferences on security capabilities of Microsoft products. So Brian talked about the announcement which was made by Brad Anderson yesterday about the Microsoft anti-malware offering for Azure cloud services and virtual machines. So in this session or over the next few minutes, we'll go over some of the details or deep dive into the capabilities, look into what the solution has to offer and how you can enable anti-malware for your Azure cloud services and virtual machines using the Azure Management Portal and some of the service management APIs we are making it available for you. So with that, so at a higher level, just wanted to set the context to make sure that you understand where we are coming from. So the Microsoft anti-malware solution is implemented and deployed across the Azure infrastructure and its services to make sure that the Azure environment is protected and the Azure ecosystem is protected for the cloud services and the virtual machines. Now, with that and the configuration we have adopted, the lessons we have learned, the configuration which is matured, we are now making it available for the Azure cloud services and the virtual machines public offering. The solution provides the basic configuration. It allows you to apply or bring in the configuration of your choice based on your application or based on your service workload for the cloud services and the virtual machines. It allows you to perform basic management on the configurations you have already applied. It allows you to enable the monitoring of the anti-malware activities which is happening, including the health of the protection, including any events which are happening on the system when the anti-malware service is running. So these are the basic, you can see the management, the basic configuration, including the monitoring of the anti-malware activities happening on your system. You can do that through the solutions we are making it available for you all. Of course, it helps you to meet the security and the compliance and your corporate requirements to make sure that your systems are protected against the malware attacks or the known malware attacks. So moving on, now, when you enable the Microsoft anti-malware solution, what do you get? The most important thing you get is the protection capability. By protection capability, I mean real-time protection. And the real-time protection feature or the capability monitors the activity on your system to detect and block the malware on the system. The schedule scanning. The schedule scanning performs a targeted scanning against the system to detect and to detect any malware or any running program on your system, be it the cloud services or be it the virtual machines. The malware remediation. The malware remediation automatically remediates or take action on the detected, on the known detected malware or the detected malware on your systems. Now that includes removing or quarantining any files where the malware is detected or removing or deleting any registry entry where the malware or the infection is found. The engine platform and the signature updates. Now this is very critical for the protection capability. This may ensures that your system is protected, and as the system is up to date based on the engine signatures or the engine updates, the platform updates, and the signature updates, which happen at a predetermined frequency, you ensure that the system is protected and stay protected from the malware threats. Active protection. Active protection is an interesting concept. Active protection provides the telemetry and the samples data to about the detected malware or any suspicious malicious activity on the system to the Microsoft service. Now this helps to ensure that there's a rapid response to the evolving threat landscape, or in the event if there is a malware outbreak, or in the event there is a malware on the system. And at the same time, it also enables the real-time delivery of the signatures on your system to remediate the malware on the system. We talked about the samples and the telemetry reporting, which helps the active protection capability. So if you look at the last three blocks, the samples and the telemetry reporting, the active protection, and the signature updates, they work pretty closely to make sure that the system stays protected against the known malware or any latest malware which is out there. So that's kind of an overview of the feature capability which we are enabling as part of the Microsoft anti-malware solution for cloud services and virtual machines. Now, moving on, the anti-malware monitoring. The anti-malware monitoring enables you to monitor the events which are happening or which are recorded in your system locally. And it monitors those, or it takes those events, the anti-malware events, and it pushes those anti-malware events to your Azure storage. Now, of course, you have to opt into the anti-malware monitoring by specifying a storage account for your application or for your service. But once you have enabled the anti-malware monitoring programmatically, then it makes sure that the anti-malware events at a predetermined frequency or cadence, they are pushed into your store. And the store is basically the place where you can monitor the activity of your system or the health of your system. So that's kind of sets the context for the solution we are offering, the capabilities which are included as part of the solution. Now we'll look into, when we get to the demo session, we'll look into some of the scenarios we are enabling, the configurations which is allowed, and how you can monitor the activity on your system through the anti-malware monitoring. This is kind of repeat of what I was saying earlier. We have deployed it. We have deployed it across the Azure infrastructure and the services for the last many months. And we have been watching it, including the configuration. The solution is available for the cloud services and virtual machine based on the announcement which came out yesterday. This enables the basic configuration, the management of your anti-malware monitoring the events through the Azure management portal and programmatically through the service management APIs and the Azure SDK PowerShell. We talked about the anti-malware monitoring, which allows you to write the event log, anti-malware events to your subscriber storage or to your storage account. Now, one key thing I want to call out here is anti-malware solution, the Microsoft anti-malware solution is supported on Windows Server 2008 R2 and above, just to make sure that we are following the latest platform principles. Now, with that, I would like to switch into the demo.
Number 1, 2, 3.
That would be 3, yes. So for the demo, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the manage.microsoft.com site, and that's our portal. And the portal basically will show you what configurations we have. Spinning, it's coming. So this is the production management portal. Now, on this portal, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, so this is basically showing a view of the subscriptions I have running as part of my Azure subscription. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the virtual machines on the left frame. I'm going to click New. I'm going to pick an image from the gallery. Let's say I pick a Windows Server 2012 data center image. So I click on that. I click Next. I'm going to name this as my AM anti-malware TechEd demo. I'm going to choose a username. I'm a security paranoid guy, so I'm going to pick a strong password. And I hit Next. Now, this is going to basically pre-populate some of the configurations I've opted in, including the default configuration. When I click Next, so this is the screen, the virtual machine configuration screen, where I'm going to see the list of security extensions we are enabling. And one of the extension is the Microsoft anti-malware extension. So this is the anti-malware solution we were looking at in the previous slides, where we are showing the scenarios, the features. So once you opt into this checkbox, you enable this checkbox, then by default, the anti-malware security configurations or the settings, which we have determined based on the Azure environment, they get applied to your virtual machine environment. So you hit next. Now, before I hit next, just wanted to show a few more things. So when you click on the Learn More link will take you to the Microsoft Anti-Malware white paper for the cloud services and virtual machines. So that's a good reference documentation which talks about the features, the capabilities, the scenarios, how you can enable it through the portal, through the APIs, and what's supported, what's not supported. So it has a bunch of information which will help you as a reference point. So then I click, I submit. Now it's provisioning the virtual machine in the background, and the virtual machine will have the Microsoft anti-malware enabled with a secure by default configuration running on the virtual machine. So while that is happening, let me switch back to the, can you switch back to one?
Oh, yep.
Clicker.
There's your clicker.
So while that is happening in the background, let me show you a workflow of what things will happen in the background when you press the checkbox button or when you opt into the checkbox button. So the first thing which is going to happen is, let's say you have an IT professional or a service administrator as part of your IT ecosystem or your environment. Now, the administrator wants to enable anti-malware across the cloud services or the virtual machines. So it can be done programmatically, as I was saying earlier, through Azure SDK PowerShell commandlet call. The PowerShell commandlet is /Azure Service Anti-Malware Extension. We shipped the PowerShell SDK version yesterday. It was announced as 8.0.8.2. That's the version which is going to have those anti-malware PowerShell commandlets. This commandlets basically consumes a bare minimum configuration, which I'll show you shortly. Or you can, as I was showing you earlier, you can enable it through the portal, through the checkbox. So once you have executed that against your cloud service or against your virtual machine, then the action is going to happen in the background where the action will be basically pushed through the virtual machine's environment or through the Azure environment, and the anti-malware payload will be executed on your virtual machine or the cloud services. Once that happens, then the anti-malware service is running, which means that you have protection on your system now. Now, as part of the protection, the service, the anti-malware service, writes the anti-malware events into the OS event log, and that's where the anti-malware monitoring comes into play. If you want to write those events from your local virtual machine or from the cloud service machines, then those events can be pushed into your or collected into your Azure store based on your subscription storage. So this, with this bare minimum, you can say the API call or one click experience through the checkbox, you have now enabled anti-malware for your applications. Now, what happens when you have the anti-malware health information, the events, the signature updates, or showing the state of the platform protection and all that? Once you have that information sitting inside your storage or inside your storage table, what can you do with that information? Now, you have options to extract or pull that information out of that through the Azure storage APIs or through the Azure storage service management commandlets. Now, for the purpose of this demo, I'm not going to show that, but the white paper talks about how to extract some of that information. So what that can do is the information then can be used and it can be fed into your corporate or your IT enterprise SIEM, the security information and event management system. For example, ArcSight is a popular SIEM capability, which helps you to report or which provides you a one-shot experience into the health of your anti-malware and other security KPIs or indicators. So this is kind of an example of what you can do once you have that anti-malware monitoring information inside your storage. You can build a dashboard using this. Here I'm using ArcSight as an example. So this is kind of a one-shot view of the health of my ecosystem or the health of my virtual machines. This is another view where you can build your reports and look into how the systems are doing and what's the health across the system. Now, this is another view where with the colors or the indicator showing that, hey, these are the mal potential malwares or the malwares detected inside your system. And this is where you would like to get notification or you would like to get some kind of alerting generated for your system. So that's kind of an end-to-end, you can say, where an IT admin or a service administrator have enabled through the API or through the portal, enable anti-malware across the virtual machines or the cloud services. The machines gets protected by virtue of the service running. The events gets collected and gets pushed into the customer store or your store based on the subscription storage through the anti-malware monitoring. And once you have that information, then you get the reporting, alerting, and notification built across your system. Now, we'll switch back to the demo and see where we are. So what we have here is, this is what we have, this is the virtual machine where we have enabled the anti-malware monitoring. So for the purpose of time, what I've done is, I have RDP into the system, and so this is basically terminal servicing into your virtual machine environment. Now, what you're seeing here is, you're seeing basically that the anti-malware service is enabled, the protection, the system is protected, and here in the local event log, the anti-malware events are recorded under the Microsoft event, Microsoft anti-malware event source. So if I kind of zoom into the view so that folks on the back can see, so this is basically showing that the anti-malware service is up and running. There are certain events recorded, some of the events related to 2000, 2002, showing that the signatures are downloaded as soon as the service is up and running to make sure that the system is up to date from a protection perspective. The 5007 event shows that configuration based on your application workload is applied to your system. And then here, you will see that the service is up and running. So if I zoom into this, so here you will see that the service state shows that the service is up and running. So that's basically a kind of a view into your virtual machine environment, showing that the system is protected, it's up and running, and it's running in a healthy state. Now, one more thing I wanted to show here is, let's say that if I have a malware for the purpose of this demo, what I'm showing is I'm taking a benign malware file from the icar.org, and I'm pushing that file on my system. So I already have that malware string here. I'm saving that on my system. And now let's see what happens. So the moment I have that, then I should see a detection event right away into my, for some reason the wireless is slow here. So yeah, so once,
We lost connection.
Yeah, the connection, the wireless connectivity is a little bit fragile here, so. So what's going to happen then is, while it comes up, what's going to happen is it's going to generate an anti-malware event saying that, so here you see that a warning 1116 saying that a malware has detected, Microsoft anti-malware service has detected malware. So that's a live demo with a live application running the Microsoft anti-malware and showing that, yes, it has detected the malware. And not only it has detected, but it has also remediated with a 1117 event showing that the Microsoft anti-malware has taken action to protect this malware. So that, at a high level, shows the different scenarios through which, through the portal or through the APIs, through which you can enable Microsoft anti-malware end-to-end, including the monitoring. Now, the other view I would like to show for the purpose of this demo is, this is the view into my Azure store. This is a Azure Storage Explorer, which is available on the codeplex.com. You can download it. This is basically a storage explorer which shows the view into my anti-malware health, showing what events have happened, how is my system doing, am I up to date on the signature, is my platform up to date, are there any malware or malicious activities going on in my system or across my system. So this is a view into your ecosystem and just going to zoom it in to give you an example. So these are my web role, worker roles. This is my configuration which is applied. Now, one last thing which I want to show is programmatically how do I enable this? So I was showing in my animated workflow where an IT admin would call the PowerShell SDK, anti-malware PowerShell SDK or the PowerShell commandlets to enable the configuration. So for the purpose of this demo, what I'm showing here is with one API call, which is the set-azure anti-malware extension. So let me blow it up a little bit so you guys can see in the back. So with this one API call and the bare minimum configuration, which is included in my XML configuration, which conforms to a particular schema based on the Azure schema principles, I'll show you how does that configuration look like. So here to this API, I am passing my cloud service name, and I am passing my anti-malware configuration. And the anti-malware configuration is here, where you're opting into enabling anti-malware by saying anti-malware enable is true. And with this bare minimum configuration, where you say anti-malware enable true, you can enable anti-malware with the default or the secure by default configuration settings. With that, and then you have the option to exclude certain things from protection or from scanning if based on your application workloads or based on your service performance considerations. You can exclude certain files, paths, processes. You can turn on monitoring based, and you can specify the storage account, as I was saying earlier, to record those anti-malware activities. Now, I can load that configuration file. It's loaded. I can run this demo. Now, it takes a minute or two. So for the purpose of time, what I've done is I've already loaded that configuration on one of the cloud service or one of the PaaS machines. And here, if you can look at the message, let me zoom into it a little bit. Here you can see the operation description saying that you have called this PowerShell commandlet. That's the operation ID, and the operation succeeded, showing that, yes, the configuration is now applied, protection is enabled, monitoring is enabled, and all the events are now recorded into your store. So with that, I wanted to hand it to Kundana, but just to recap in the next 15 seconds, we have looked at Microsoft anti-malware for clouds, Azure Cloud Services and virtual machines, where you can enable it programmatically through the service management APIs, through the PowerShell commandlets, through the Azure Management Portal, which is one checkbox experience. We have looked at how the anti-malware configuration looks like, the XML configuration. We have looked at how the events can be watched through the Storage Explorer or some other capability, like the Arc site or your enterprise security information and event management. So that is the solution we have announced, and the solution is available. We have the included in the resources section. If you can go to the slide, Brian. So we have the resources section, which talks about the white paper, the information we have on the Trust Center, which Brian was showing you earlier. We are going to be at the TechEd booth, the Azure Security and Compliance booth under the Developer Platform and Tools, where I can demo it to you guys. If you have any further level questions on how the solutions works or the scenarios works, feel free to stop by, and we'll be happy to chat. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Devendra. Appreciate it. Okay, so moving on, next we have Kundana. We almost lost her off the back of the stage here a minute ago. Luckily, she's still with us. Kundana and I are still on this, are on the same team, and she's going to talk a bit about the Trend Micro Deep Security for Azure. She's also going to talk about the custom script extensions, which she had a large hand in actually creating inside of Microsoft. So here is your clicker.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, my name is Kundana Palagiri. I'm a program manager in Windows Azure Runtime, Microsoft Azure. And I have been working on many things related to virtual machine customization, including the VM extensions. And I have been at Microsoft for about 13 years. So Before we get into the demo for the Trend micro solution, one of the Azure's key top value proposition has been simplifying deployment and management. The three extension security solutions that we have seen today is an example of that. And in this demo, I am going to specifically focus on how to enable the Trend Micro Deep Security solution on the virtual machines. The Deep Security solution from Trend offers a complete set of security capabilities, both for physical machines and for virtual machines. And some of the capabilities available are the anti-malware solutions for detecting and blocking for malware, intrusion prevention for preventing zero-day attacks, firewall protection for blocking malware traffic, and integrity monitoring, basically which can monitor any expected and unexpected events, and combined with centralized logging and application scanning. And coming in this in future would also be the data protection. So this is the set of solutions that are offered by the Trend Micro Deep Security service. So what does, with these solutions, what does the Trend Micro Deep Security service deliver for the enterprise? It delivers four core pillars, which is one is protection from attacks, server hardening, compliance monitoring, and last but not least, automated management. So with that, I want to switch to the demo. Okay. So in this demo today, I want to show you two things. Number one, how to enable the deep security agent on Azure VMs right from Azure portal. And number two, how to activate this agent and perform additional configuration in an easy, straightforward way using Azure's custom script extension. So so we have seen this portal UI a couple of times today. To create a brand new virtual machine with the deep security agent, you go to the portal and click the new VM from the gallery image. And here you see Trend Micro Deep Security Agent embedded right in the portal along with the other security solutions. So select this and say OK. And that's it. When the VM is created, it gets the security, deep security agent on the VM. So let's say you have created a virtual machine a while ago, and now you want to go and enable the deep security agent on that virtual machine. You can do that today using the Azure PowerShell commandlets. So I want to give a quick overview of how to enable this. So basically, this is standard PowerShell stuff. If you're familiar with the Azure PowerShell commandlets for creating virtual machines. So I have a virtual machine which doesn't have a Navy solution. So I get the name of the service, I get the name of the VM, and I load it into the virtual machine object. At this point, I run this commandlet called set Azure VM extension and provided the name of the extension which is going to install a security agent. And I hit, and the last step I do is this, which is update Azure VM, which is going to apply the changes on the virtual machine. Now, when this step is done, the VM, which was already created, gets the deep security agent, and it gets installed. So at this point, we have taken a virtual machine that was pre-created, and we have enabled the deep security agent. The next step that needs to be done is to activate the solution. So for activation, the activation of the solution can be done from the deep security portal. But if you want to automate it and you want to do it on multiple virtual machines, then it can be done in a very easy, straightforward way using the custom script extension. Basically, with custom script extension, you can have a single script with your configuration, put it in a storage location, and point your virtual machine to that. And behind the scenes, the custom script extension is going to grab this configuration from the storage location, and it is going to run it on the virtual machine. So to do that, Here are the four or five lines of PowerShell commandlets that are needed. Get the name of the service on which you want to activate. Get the name of the virtual machine on which you want to activate. Load that into a VM object, and finally run this commandlet called set Azure VM custom script extension. And this is the configuration file which is going to perform the activation. And I have stored it in there. And finally, call the update Azure VM call. And this is going to customize. This step is going to apply custom script extension, which is going to pull the script, does the configuration. So just to recap, we have done a couple of things. So we have taken a virtual machine that we have created a while ago. We have installed Deep Security Agent on that virtual machine using PowerShell commandlets. We have then activated one virtual machine or multiple virtual machines using the custom script extension, all of which has been fully automated. Finally, just to see the status reporting and the any additional policy configuration for the virtual machine, you can go to the Trend Micro Deep Security service. You need to sign up for a Trend Micro Deep Security subscriptions, and this is the portal for that. With your credentials, here I have logged in with my credentials. With your credentials, log into the portal. This portal gives a centralized view of all the computers that are being monitored, the alerts received, and here, when I go to my computer, I see that this is the virtual machine running in Azure that was created using Azure PowerShell commandlets. So with this integration, what we have done is we have taken two technologies, Azure Virtual Machines, and we have taken Deep Security Service, and we have integrated such that customers who use this can manage and deploy the solution in a seamless and an automated way. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Kandana. That was great. So just to kind of highlight that point again, so far we've seen the deployment of the different agents via the UI, but obviously the message here as well is all of these different extensions can also be deployed via PowerShell. So again, if you're bringing a virtual machine from home, yet you want one of these agents, you can use PowerShell to go ahead and do the injection. Also, if you're doing large-scale deployment, where you might be deploying 100 virtual machines, you can go ahead and use PowerShell to do that as well. I do see a question. I'm going to ask kindly, if you don't mind, at the very end, we're going to go through the questions. So if you could hold on to that, I'd appreciate it. And then she also showed the custom script extension, which is the ability, again, to actually inject the configuration for the agent inside of the virtual machine. Okay, so moving along. Great, so next I want to talk actually very briefly about Drive Encryption and BitLocker. We're actually going to move over now, and the first part, what we've been seeing is again the antivirus and anti-malware extensions. Now we want to move into Drive Encryption. And there actually is confusion out there. Some people say, no, you can't use BitLocker inside of an Azure IaaS virtual machine. That is not the case, you actually can. And the solutions that we're going to be looking at here from Trend and from A4 in a few minutes, one of them actually uses the BitLocker option, but we also have options here inside of Windows to use BitLocker inside of your virtual machine. So really quickly, one thing that you have to consider, because you don't have a physical TPM that you can actually connect BitLocker to, you have to go into local computer policy and make some changes. So this is actually buried relatively deep here, but you can see down here under operating system devices, we have require additional authentication at startup. And if we move to the next, when you go into the settings of this, you can actually check the box here which says allow BitLocker without a compatible TPM. So again, if you do this, this is going to require a password or a startup key on a USB flash drive or another offline drive or a drive as part of the virtual machine in Azure. So you do have that option. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on that. Here's obviously an image showing BitLocker encrypted drives inside of an Azure virtual machine. But if you want to get deeper into how Microsoft does it, uses BitLocker inside of these virtual machines, I highly encourage you to go to the session. It's tomorrow morning at 8:30. Krishna and Ramesh are going to go into this in detail, so you might want to catch that session. So next, as I mentioned, the first half, we talked about the antivirus and anti-malware solutions. Next, we're going to move on to the drive encryption solutions, specifically from Trend Micro and A4. Here we have Brian Tice from Trend Micro, and he's going to demonstrate the secure cloud for Azure. So thanks, Brian.
No problem.
And there's your clicker if
and
you care
my
for
clicker.
It. Yep.
Okay. Well, so we'll give that a try. Sometimes I have bad luck with these. So one of the concerns as people are starting to move workloads off of their data centers where they control everything into an Azure cloud is, how do I control my data, right? How do I keep track of who has access, and how can I control it once it's once I don't need it anymore, once I get rid of the attached drive or the OS drive, what happens to my data then? Secure Cloud is a product from Trend Micro that does full disk encryption and tries to address a number of these issues. So the main challenges we've come across are things like ensuring data privacy when I'm using a service that I don't control the actual hardware. Also addressing a number of compliance requirements, as we find people are trying to move more and more complicated workloads into the Azure cloud. We're also finding that there are a number of compliance situations that they run into. And the last one is resolving this data destruction, which is something that not everybody thinks about. So when I've got an attached drive, what happens when I say I don't need that anymore? So Secure Cloud, this is how it does it. So as I said, it's a full disk encryption solution. And actually, we're just going to skip straight to this next slide and look at it a little bit more in depth. So essentially what we do is we drop an agent between the operating system file system and the actual disk itself. And we do the encryption that way. So it's completely transparent to the applications, to the operating system, and basically does it on the fly. And a couple nice things for this is as you're encrypting your drives the first time, you can actually still be using them. So from an actual architecture perspective, there is a management key store where the keys are kept. Now that's under your control, so you can have an on-premise version. We also have a hosted version that you can have. You have an account. Everything is encrypted in the database on the back end, so your keys are safe and they're somewhere that you control. When a VM comes up and the Secure Cloud agent comes up as well, it realizes it has drives that it needs to decrypt. It sends a request to this management key store for the keys. Now, the way we control how those keys are released is through these policies. And so you see just down below the management key store, we have kind of a policy exchange that happens. When the agent comes into the management console, the key store says, okay, well, here's the policy that you're supposed to be using. Here's the information I need back from you. And that can be things like operating system, that can be region, it can be a whole bunch of different identifiers to make sure that this VM is supposed to be able to decrypt the drive it's trying to decrypt. So it sends that, the agent sends that information back, everything's good, great, the key gets released. Now that's great, but now all your data is decrypted. So periodically, the agent will continue to do these checks back and forth. So if something changes, you can actually have the option to revoke the keys. And we've seen some secure environments where that's actually what they do. They pull the keys, the drive becomes completely unreadable to the applications, and bang, your data is protected again. So I'm actually going to jump right into a demo. Seven, please. So the page I have up right now is actually found at www.trendmicro.com/azure. And this is where you can find all of our content for the integrations that we've done. So not only is the Secure Cloud stuff here, we also have some stuff on deep security. And some of the scripts that have been mentioned and that I'll be using can be found here and downloaded. So I've got an instance up. I have an attached drive. And that's one thing to note. In this current incarnation, we don't support encrypting the OS drive. That's something that should be coming out in the next couple weeks, if not a month or so. So you do have to make sure that you're not trying to do that. It will run. When you try and restart it, that's when you run into problems. So if you never want to restart your Azure VMs, that's fine.
Minor point.
Yeah. So just something to be aware of at this point. As I said, going forward, we will be encrypting those drives as well. So I've got my VM up. I'm ready to go. Right now, we're doing this through PowerShell injection. So next will come an extension, so you'll be able to use all the techniques that we've just learned. But right now, we're just doing this through PowerShell. So I'm going to kick this off, and of course, it's not going to work. All right, we won't worry about that. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to jump straight into what the console looks like. So you run that script. Basically, what that script does is it downloads the agent, it kicks the agent off, it does the install, and that last parameter was a config file. Now, that config file tells the Secure Cloud agent how to register into the Secure Cloud console. So if I just drop into my user management, everything's identified in two ways, an account ID and an actual passphrase. Now, I can put this up here, and I'm not worried about it, because the worst you can do is actually activate your agents into my console. You can't actually steal agents. But the passphrase is configurable, so you can change it on your passphrase policy if you need to. But this is how we identify how the agents actually come in and report into each Secure Cloud Agent system. So from an inventory perspective, I'm just going to bring up my demo machine. So right now, I don't have this drive encrypted. It's going to show up two drives. Right now, I have the OS drive. And if I scroll down, you can also see the attached drive. So I'd like to encrypt that drive, go over here, say encrypt. A new window pops up. And this is where I get my options of whether to preserve the data or if I want to erase it. If it's a new drive, we don't need to worry about it. But a lot of the times, you're not trying to inject this into a new environment. You don't get to greenfield. You already have data on the drives. Or it could be a shared drive. Maybe it's a drive that multiple machines are using. So I tell it to preserve the data. It's going to roll into a state where it tells me it's waiting for the agent to come in, and the encryption's going to kick off. Now, the downside with demoing encryption is there's no fancy, I can't download a nice little file and go, hey, look, it's working. The encryption will come in. We'll get a nice little circle saying, hey, look, I'm encrypting, and then the drive's encrypted. So really, that covers most of it. We can demo the PowerShell scripts for you at the booth. I just don't want to take up too much time having to debug what happens to be not working on that one. So I'll pass it back.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. All right. Switching back to the deck here for a moment. So next, we also have a solution from a company called A4 that we've been working with over the last several months, specifically around validating the solution on Azure virtual machines. The solution is called CloudLink Secure VM, which provides full Azure boot disk volume encryption for your virtual machines. So again, full disk volume encryption. It encrypts the data both in motion and at rest. And the user still controls the keys. So that's kind of an important piece there. The keys aren't actually stored in the virtual machine or in Azure. There's still kind of separation there to ensure that the keys are stored with the end user. To kind of make sure that the security policies are adhered to there. Easy to automate and deploy and boot from fully encrypted disks. It's natural, it leverages the OS native encryption tools. So for virtual machines that are running Windows, it's actually fully leveraging BitLocker. And for virtual machines that are running Linux, it's using the DMCrypt software for the Linux operating system. So the key thing here is it's actually leveraging standard, Linux-based, and in the case of BitLocker, Windows-based drive encryption technologies. And really where the magic is around the key management and the logging and the security of that. So it's flexible. It works both in hybrid or public cloud deployment models. And this last bullet point always makes me cringe just a little bit, but it is true. This works in Azure as well as other IaaS environments. So here's kind of a visual representation. It does require a very lightweight agent inside of the virtual machine, which again talks back to CloudLink Center to be able to get those keys. When you do BitLocker, again, in a Windows virtual machine natively, it's still going to ask you, because it doesn't have the TPM, it's going to be asking you for that key. In this case, all of that is managed automatically through CloudLink Center. So there is no user intervention at time of boot. It just automatically comes up. The keys are managed, the keys are provided, and the virtual machine is up and running in your environment. Of course, you can use KMS and HSM as well to extend the solution. So here I actually have a very short demo that it's a video demo that we're going to listen to from A4 to see how the solution works in action. And if we have volume through the demo machine, yes, no, maybe. This is the PowerPoint machine, yes. We can bring up Misha if we need to.
For encryption keys.
There
to
we
Windows
go. We'll start it over here.
CloudLink Secure VM is a component of the A4 CloudLink Data Security Solution. It provides volume encryption with pre-boot authorization in public cloud infrastructure by leveraging Microsoft BitLocker. CloudLink Secure VM enables BitLocker to be deployed and used in virtual and cloud environments by securely managing and delivering BitLocker encryption keys to Windows virtual machines. The CloudLink Center virtual appliance manages access to the keys and provides an administrative web interface to define security policy and monitor the deployment. In this demo, we will install the CloudLink Secure VM agent into an existing Windows VM deployed within Microsoft Azure. BitLocker will be automatically enabled and configured to encrypt the VM's boot volume, and the VM will be registered with CloudLink Center. Next, the Windows VM will be restarted, demonstrating that it can boot automatically and securely in the Microsoft Azure environment. Let's begin by opening a remote desktop session with the Windows VM. In the command shell, we can see that this VM's hostname is vp2008sys-rdp. The VM's internal IP address is 10.0.0.139, and that BitLocker has not yet been applied to this VM. We will now run an installer to deploy the CloudLink Secure VM agent, configure BitLocker, and register the VM with CloudLink Center. The green lock in the system tray indicates that the Secure VM agent has been deployed successfully. We will now configure the agent with the IP address of the CloudLink Center virtual appliance. At this point, CloudLink Secure VM configures BitLocker to encrypt the VM's boot volume. A restart is required to complete the deployment. Once the VM is restarted, we can open another remote desktop session. BitLocker is now encrypting the boot volume, as indicated by the system tray notification messages and the manage BDE shell command. Let's log into the CloudLink Center management interface. We can see that this VM is now under CloudLink Center control. We can also see that this machine was booted at 12 p.m. Once BitLocker has completed encrypting the boot volume, the VM is shut down. We will now restart the VM using the Microsoft Azure console. Logging into this VM, we can see that BitLocker is active and that the VM's boot volume is completely encrypted. Looking again at the CloudLink Center console, we can see that this VM was restarted at 1:43 p.m. The VM was allowed to boot automatically with no user intervention based on the configured CloudLink Center security policy. We will now shut down the VM using the Microsoft Azure console. Thank you for watching this demonstration. For more information about CloudLink Secure VM and other components of the CloudLink platform, please visit our website at www.a4solutions.com.
Okay, so that's a great solution. We have actually Misha here with us from A4. After the session, if you want more information around the solution, please come up and you can speak to him directly. This solution is currently in final testing. Unless I'm mistaken, I believe the plan is by July to have the encryption solution for the Windows environment available for production use in August for the Linux environment. So if you need more information, please come up after the session and we can provide that. And the very last thing I want to touch on is another solution from Trend called Portal Protect. So Portal Protect is a VM extension. It is not in the UI, but it actually uses the extension model for deployment. So when we think about SharePoint, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to use SharePoint in the cloud as well. They want to save money, and a lot of people are working to actually move their entire SharePoint environment into Azure, or in some cases, just pieces of the environment and make a hybrid SharePoint deployment. When we think about kind of the history of SharePoint, historically, people used it as a file sharing tool for their internal organizations and their companies. When you think about protecting that type of environment, primarily it's around blocking malware for the files that people may have uploaded. So if they put a file onto SharePoint that has some malware or some bad code in it, other people would download it and the infection would go ahead and spread. But now when we look at kind of what's happening and how people are using SharePoint today, it's much more than just file sharing and intranet. They're also using it for team sites and discussion forums. They're also using it for wikis and blogs. People are also extending it out and letting their customers and their partners have access to their SharePoint sites as well. So now it's not just a small protected environment with your immediate organization, it can go broader with more people that you may or may not know. And then also, either with the inbox tools or extensions on top of SharePoint, people are also using it for social networking to provide kind of Facebook and Twitter type of functionality. So with all these new uses of SharePoint becomes also new requirements for securing it. So not only, again, do we need to block malware, but we also need to block links to dangerous sites. In the kind of the team sites and the discussion forums, people will link to sites off the corporate environment. Either intentionally or unintentionally, these may be malicious sites, so we need to protect against that. We also need to log and block inappropriate content. In the discussion forums, people can say things that may not be appropriate that you want to remove off your site. So you need to be thinking about that as well. And also sensitive data. Whether this is customer data, you want to make sure that it's secured and locked only for those people who need to get access to it. So this brings in the Portal Protect product from Trend. Trend has been working to secure SharePoint since 2002. It provides the anti-malware solutions. It provides malicious URL protection, content filtering for both documents as well as web parts, and also data loss protection is included as well. So currently their solution runs on SharePoint 2013, 2010, and 2007. It supports various storage options in the cloud, including remote blobs and shredded storage, and also virtual and cloud data centers. So the very last thing is, we have one more little video here. This is a relatively short one, only about 2.5 minutes long, that talks about the Portal Protect solution from Trend. Oh, come on. Do it the manual way.
Trend Micro's Portal Protect for Microsoft SharePoint can help your organization guard against risks due to SharePoint content. It scans for malware, web links leading to malware, and controls compliance data. It can also guard against risky behavior in SharePoint social collaborations. Portal Protect uses reputation-based technology to scan for malware, and it can also block risky file types. Here, a user uploads a file which, unbeknownst to him or her, contains malware. Portal Protect blocks the upload, notifies the user, as well as administrators. Portal Protect also scans for sensitive data, which may need to be controlled for compliance reasons or as a general best practice. You can use one of the pre-built compliance templates or create your own. Here, the administrator has turned on a template to block PII, or personally identifiable information. A user is updating a wiki post in SharePoint, and the post contains a US Social Security number. The post is blocked, and the user is notified for the reason why. Similarly, Portal Protect can also use content filtering to warn and block posting of profanity or potentially harassing language. SharePoint administrators often don't have much visibility into what their users are posting to SharePoint. And so in addition to the real-time scans, Portal Protect can scan the SharePoint database. You can use the manual scan using a compliance filter to discover where you have compliance data in your SharePoint and assess your need for additional controls. A free trial of Trend Micro Portal Protect for Microsoft SharePoint is available at trendmicro.com.
Okay, so just as a wrap-up, we've gone through a lot of content today, so let's just summarize a few of the key points. As I mentioned, we've introduced some of the new extensions around security, specifically antivirus and anti-malware solutions from Symantec, Trend, and Microsoft. The folks from all three of these solutions will be up front right here at the end of the session, so feel free to come up and have conversation. We also announced the encryption options from both Trend and A4. These are not using the extension model, but you can still use scripts to do automated deployment into your Azure virtual machines. And the last one was the SharePoint protection, or the Portal Protect product from Trend, to protect your deployments of SharePoint in your Azure IaaS virtual machines. I also wanted just to reference a couple other sessions that may be pertinent that are happening later in this week. We have Pass the Hash, How Attackers Spread and How to Stop Them. That's Mark Rusinovich. That's happening today at 1:30. That's destined to be a great session. We also, tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning, we have the session on Drive Encryption, BitLocker. As I mentioned, they're going to be going deeper into that, so that's a good session to catch. And also on Tuesday tonight at 5 o'clock, we have a session on social engineering, manipulations, targeted attacks, and IT security. And again, at 10:15 tomorrow, we have a session for Mark Rusinovich again on Mark Rusinovich and Mark Minayasi on cloud computing. So again, a great session to attend and consider. So with that, I'll say please do complete your evaluations. It's helpful for us. It's been a pleasure here presenting to you today. Please do come up, introduce yourself, tell us about your thoughts on this, and if you have any questions, I wish you a great rest of TechEd, and please, again, come introduce yourself to us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.